Spring has sprung and you need to celebrate with a new MyPillow. With its patented interlocking fill, you can easily adjust your MyPillow to your individual needs. And now Mike's added brand new temperature regulating technology that keeps you more comfortable throughout the night. Plus, MyPillow 2.0 is 50% off with promo code REGULARJOE. There's never been a better time to get the MyPillow 2.0 than right now when it's 50% off. You can also get the extraordinary Giza Dream Sheets starting at just $29.99. Made from the world's best cotton from a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, the Giza Dream Sheets feature a sateen weave, giving them a luxurious finish. We own several sets, and they are fantastic. And you can get them for a limited time at an extremely low price with promo code REGULARJOE. Visit MyPillow.com/REGULARJOE to shop the best deals on MyPillow's complete line of products and get the lowest prices when you use promo code REGULARJOE. Welcome back, Joe Giganti, Regular Joe, with you here on this Wednesday. Still, so one of our great Mary Bennett regulars, knowing that I am a fan of the Babylon Bee. As always, the writers of the Babylon Bee are just a talented bunch of people. I mean, they right on time every time, including they had a great lambaste for Kristi Noem. The headline: they have a picture of Kristi Noem and they photoshopped like the type of crazy hat you see at the Kentucky Derby. In the headline, Kristi Noem attends Kentucky Derby to see if any horses need to be put down, and they responded to Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, who we just played a moment ago, saying, look, you know, black kids in the Bronx don't even know what the word computer is. The headline of that Babylon Bee article, quote, me teach you white man's secret of fire, end quote. Governor Hochul says to primitive black children of the Bronx. I mean, it's so spot on. I mean, this is exactly, I've said it time and again, Kathy Hochul once again proves it. There is seldom a racist you will find more so than a progressive left-wing liberal. In their supposed efforts to want to help lift up their minority brothers and sisters, all they do is treat and act like they are less than human. They can't figure out how to use a computer. Now, they don't even, I mean, she said that in 2024. Her answer, I misspoke. Okay, fair enough. Now, we like to do our unity updates. So I have a unity update before we get into, I quickly want to talk on the Kristi Noem thing, because she's at it again. This is why I'm going to talk about it, because Kristi Noem is being stupid. There's no other nice way to put this. Kristi Noem is destroying her own career because she doesn't know when to just stop talking. I know she has a book and she wants to sell her book. She should have probably written the book better, at least properly. And to all the left-wing people that say, I never talk about Republicans, well, you know, Kristi Noem was a very strong candidate for vice president until she decided to completely destroy all hope by making just ridiculous claims and then not having the integrity to just say, yeah, I don't know why I said that. It was BS. I shouldn't have said it. You know, it was bad judgment. I shouldn't have done it. Instead, she tries to somehow pretend like it's conspiracies and everything else. But first, before we go to that, the former lieutenant governor of Georgia, Jeff Duncan. Now, I would like to know where all the official Unity Party Republicans are. Whether you're a Den mom or a state party chair, somebody that doesn't care for rabble-rousers, perhaps you work in Washington in the brain trust of the U.S. Congress, but where are the people that get angry when conservatives like me call out weak-kneed, feckless, limp-wristed, chai latte-drinking Republicans for the fools that they are and the damage they do to the conservative movement? Because here's one of those examples right now. Here is Jeff Duncan's form of unity. He, matter of fact, he wanted to go to the central location of unity, which would be CNN News Central, to talk about Donald Trump and that we need a legitimate candidate.
Well, enough's enough. Donald Trump is not our future. He's not our present. And now looking back, he certainly wasn't our past.
What is
that? Donald Trump's a fake Republican. He's proven that over and over and over again. He simply wants the position of president to be powerful. And he's willing to lie, cheat, and steal for it. And if we're going to fix this party and go forward, the party that is conservative but not crazy and angry, we've got to do it without Donald Trump. And I know it makes sense to try to elect a Republican to be the president, but if we can get past Donald Trump, have a Republican-controlled Congress, we can have a firewall in place, and then we can take the next 4 years to fix our party and get a legitimate candidate forward that can lead us in the right direction.
Is this Robin Voss's political consultant? This is what you get with Bulwark, Lincoln Project, we're for the grand old party. Now, let me ask you a question. Did you hear his strategy? Let's purposely lose the White House so we can win Congress and have a firewall. Do you remember the numbers I gave you, like in Pennsylvania, where Donald Trump is up but the Republican is down running for Senate? And I'm curious, Jeff Duncan's going to lecture people on real Republicanism? All right, let's go through your record, shall we? I'm quite sure we'll find plenty of deficits, Mr. Duncan. But I want to point out this guy, his strategy, unity, unity. Where's all the people crying unity? This guy just went on national television and said we should plan on losing the presidency so that we can get back on track. We can create a firewall. Well, that's worked really well. It's going gangbusters in the House right now. If we possibly are going to vacate the second speaker in 6 months. And what about the bedrock issues? He's not even a Republican. That's funny because he seems to resonate much more with Republicans than you do, Jeff Duncan. I get there's a little bit of jealousy. It happens. Nobody gives a rat's behind who Jeff Duncan is. And the good news is on CNN, so not that many people actually see it. I share it by way of only saying, why is it a one-way street, this call of unity? Where's Jeff Duncan's unity? Is he a rabble-rouser? Is he being unvarnished? Does he need to be put in his place? He needs a stern talking to. No, they'll just say nothing about it. Let him go about his business. As a matter of fact, he'll get a nice corner office and a no-show job somewhere, and they'll make sure he makes all the rounds in the media while they just sit there and clutch their pearls and say, well, I don't know why he's doing that. Somebody should probably talk to him, as opposed to actually doing anything. And what is it even? He says it wasn't our past. I'm pretty sure he was president, right? Did I miss something? He's not legitimate. And you think Joe Biden is legitimate? Joe Biden, who got more votes than any president in history. Once again, I'd love to ask. See if we can find Jeff Duncan. I'm serious. Let's invite him on the show. Tell him I'll ask that question to start. And depending on how stupid his answer is, we may have further questions. I won't be able to see him face-to-face because it'll be by phone, but I want to ask him if he believes the statement that Joe Biden received more votes than any president in history. And depending on that, tell him we'll know what his IQ really is and his veracity. Maybe say it a little nicer than I'm just putting it out there. I'm just saying. Now, yesterday, In the Trump, the business mislabeling case going on with Alvin Bragg, everybody was very worried. What was going to happen when Donald Trump came out of the courthouse? He was going to explode all the different liberal channels for, by and large. Oh, they got under his skin. It was salacious. I mean, Nicole Wallace over at MSNBC was downright giddy. One might say she seemed even turned on by the salacious details. Not that she was into it, but just the fact that the salacious details were being revealed. Because, oh, they said it. You had the crazy ladies on The View, the cackling cows over there. Cackling cows. Oh, there, I did it again. Sorry. Either way, you had Nicole, all these people, oh, it's a black eye. They had to sit there. It's Caitlin Collins on CNN. He had to sit there, and he was forced to listen to people say bad things about him. It doesn't happen enough. He needs that. These people are really, truly sick, pathetic individuals with mental illness. And they thought for sure he would come out, he would violate that gag order one more time, and he'd explode with his anger over all that he had to sit through yesterday. And here's exactly what happened when he walked out to those cameras.
And this was a very revealing day in court. Any honest reporter would say that. I would recommend you read Jonathan Turley and Andrew McCarthy and Alan Dershowitz, Greg Jarrett, Mark Levin, very talented people, and others. There's some incredible people out there that are writing about this trial. They're calling it a disgrace. It's a disgrace. In the meantime, I'm stuck. I'm here. Instead of being in Georgia, instead of being in New Hampshire, instead of being in Wisconsin, and all the different states that we wanted to be in, we're not able to be there because we're stuck in this trial, which everyone knows is a hoax.
Well, there went all of their hopes and dreams. It just didn't. You might even say, as you look at it, these poor, poor leftists, they were so giddy, so excited for the explosion, but yet it didn't happen.
Denied.
Yeah, they just, once again.
Denied.
It's you almost feel bad for them. Now, somebody that can't quite keep control of themselves keeps trying new lines, none of which are really working well, would be Governor Kristi Noem. She went on Newsmax, and she's making all the rounds. Rob Finnerty, I give the guy credit, man. He did not play the game. He wasn't like, oh, is it a left-wing editor that did this to you? Did you possibly have a seizure and you didn't know you wrote the words? Were you interpreting spirits from the past? Perhaps you were talking, a spirit was talking through you that had once lived in North Korea and met with Kim Jong-un. No, he just said, look, I think you're lying. And by the way, I don't think you're going to be vice president. Cut 8. It didn't go well for her. And once again, her answers are pathetic.
If you asked me a month ago, who's at the top of the list to run with Donald Trump, I would have said your name.
Mm-hmm.
If you asked me that same question this morning, I don't even think you're on the list.
Really?
So my question
and
for you,
is that?
Yes, really. And it's because of things that have come out in this book, like your claims that you met Kim Jong-un. And then over the last week,
I've been to the DMZ. I've been to the area. What
you,
I've said
did you stare
is
down
that
Kim Jong-un?
What I've said
here's, let me, Governor, one second. I will give you an opportunity to respond. I just want to get this out there. So here's the quote from the book. You say that I remember when I met North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I'm sure he underestimated me, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants. Governor, that never happened, did
what
it?
What I have said in the book is that when I became aware of the content that we had, it changed. And that's the way that it is.
She said what I said in the book was when I became aware. She's not even lying well. That's not what you said in the book. That's what you said when you got caught. And I won't talk about my conversations falls flat when it starts with, I remember the time I met him. You literally are bragging in your own book that you supposedly wrote about a number of people you met with. Just you didn't lie about all of them. He went further because he wasn't going to just take the simple answer. So she tried to talk her way out of it. Didn't work well.
So I should not have put that anecdote in the book. That I'm not going to talk about my meetings.
But an anecdote indicates that it happened,
I'm
right?
I'm not going to talk about my conversations with world leaders. I've been involved in policy for 30 years.
No relevance.
For 30 years, I've been traveling the world, talking to world leaders. And that is a conversation that I'm not going to have in this book. I've answered that in interviews already. I've been very forthright, and I think that a typical politician wouldn't be that honest. As soon as it became to my attention, I asked for the content to be changed, and it has been.
Governor, I'm not asking you about the details of this alleged meeting. I'm asking if the meeting actually happened. I don't think it did. And I think if it did, you'd be able to confirm for me that, yes, it did, and here's when it happened. It happened, say, at such and such a date
I'm
or a month,
to,
or
I'm
you don't have to be
to
specific.
I'm not going to talk about
then
my conversations.
You're
going
to continue
leaders.
To have to answer this question then.
I don't think so, because the average American citizen is more worried about the border.
Well, fair enough. The border matters. But if you really want to be the vice president, it does matter. In this, I've been to the DMZ. That's not the same as I met Kim Jong-un and stared him down. You can't give it, and he's absolutely right. If she had met with him, she would just say, I met with him, or I saw him, but I'm not going to talk about the conversation. Whatever it might be. Then Charlotte McBride, the co-host, jumped in. I don't know if she's trying to help or hurt, but Here's how that went.
You seem surprised when Rob said that he didn't see you on the short list anymore. Mm-hmm. Are you still on that short list? Have you talked to him about being his vice president?
I talked to President Trump a lot. Mm-hmm. I talk to him a lot, and mm-hmm. I think the world of him, and he knows that, and I've always supported him. Even when he, back in 2016, when very few Republicans or anybody supported him, I was on his side recognizing that he doesn't think he's better than anybody else. He's had rough days and had difficult days, but he also did incredible things and made big decisions for this country, and that's what people want, is elected leaders that have hard days but know the challenges that this country faces and are willing to make those tough decisions to make it happen.
Okay, so that was, by the way, one of the worst non-answers possible. I go back to what Brian McCaffrey had to say in Backdraft.
You see that glow flashing in the corner of your eye? That's your career dissipation light. It just went into high gear.
I mean, honestly, whoever is doing her crisis communication, fire them. They're terrible. If she's doing her own crisis communication, hire somebody. You're doing terrible. She is killing her national, probably dead at this point, her national career. She can be governor, but it's not going to be anything more than that.
The Regular Joe Radio Show.